Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington, working on this program via remote. Here are some of the top stories making news across South Sudan this Friday, December 9, 2022. A panel of three judges dismissed a case against the former governor of Northern Bahr-el-Ghazal State.
The decision of the court today, the court dismissed the charges against the accused and released the accused immediately.
And some South Sudanese say the decision to send South Sudan People's Defense Force to restore peace in the Democratic Republic of Congo is a mockery. We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. A panel of three judges at a special court in South Sudan's capital Juba dismissed a case against the former governor of Northern Bahr-el-Ghazal, Quel Aguer, who was accused of attempting to overthrow the government of President Salva Kiir. Aguer was arrested last year after he and other activists co-founded a civic group known as the People's Coalition for Civil Action. For VOA News, Manyang David Mayar has more from Juba.
A deafening round of applause and ululation from family members, friends and supporters as the special court in Juba announced the dismissal of the case against Quel Aguer, a senior member of the People's Coalition for Civil Action and former Northern Bahr-el-Ghazal State Governor. The special court consisted of a panel of three judges, Simaya Salah, Duos Kulang and Obach Denyong. They said they dismissed the case for the lack of sufficient evidence against the former governor. Addressing reporters outside the courtroom shortly after the dismissal of the case, Aguirre said the presiding team of judges have done what is described as national integrity, adding that they have exercised their constitutional powers in an appropriate manner.
I would like to thank the judiciary of South Sudan for exercising the power of law and power of the Constitution. I'm sure I have not committed any crime against my country. South Sudan is a country I love, I struggle for, and I will die for. I will die for South Sudan. Therefore, I cannot do anything that will harm it.
Aguirre was arrested in August 2021 for being part of an anti-government movement referred to as the People's Coalition for Civil Action, or PCCA. He also signed a document by the group that called for a nationwide campaign of civil disobedience that was aimed at pressuring President Salva Kiir and the Transitional Government of National Unity to step down. The former governor was then detained in Juba at the National Security Service Detention Facility, known as Blue House, for more than a year before he appeared in a special court on the 3rd of October this year. Aguirre was charged under Articles 52, 63, 66, 74, 76, and 80, among others, of the South Sudan Penal Code. All of the articles accused him of planning a coup to overthrow the government. Aguirre says all the accusations against him were part of a plan by people who wanted to eliminate him and that the time he spent in the prison would not deter his fight.
I shall continue to call for democracy. I shall continue to call for freedom. I shall continue to call for justice and equality in this country because we liberated South Sudan so that we have a country of which and every citizen is a first-class citizen. Nobody is a second-class citizen, and nobody is a follower of anybody. We are all free. We are born free, and we live free, and we shall die free. We are not anybody's property.
Aguirre says the rule of law should continue to prevail whenever the government tries to suppress the rights of the South Sudanese people. One of the lawyers, Kiri Chol, says Aguirre's court victory is also one for freedom of speech.
The decision of today has served the justice not only on Quel Aguirre, but to the nation and the citizen of this country who would wish to criticize their government. In our constitution, the freedom of expression and opinion under Article 25 of our national constitution, as well as Article 24, provide the right to any citizen to criticize the government. And this right is not absolute. It has limitation. In our case here, that is the case of Quilagwer, the court agreed with us that Quilagwer was exercising his constitutional right to criticize the government, and he has not exceeded that right. And therefore, the alleged offenses that were leveled against him were not established.
Chol says the court's decision to dismiss the case is a clear indication that the independence of the judiciary still exists and is respected in South Sudan. The People's Coalition for Civil Action says the dismissal of Aguer's case is a great triumph. Abraham Awolich, a member of the coalition, says the group is very joyful.
Today, we are reacting with joy and a sense of triumph that the court has found Quilagwer to have not committed any crime, but use his constitutional rights and powers to speak out against injustice and suppression of liberties in South Sudan. And so the PCCA, as an organization, congratulate Governor Quilagwer for his release.
Awolich appealed to the government to therefore lift all restrictions against all members of the PCCA and personal bank accounts, including the release of all prisoners. The head of the prosecution team, Lat Kweth Jal, says his side did their best to present a strong case against the accused. He says the prosecution may appeal the decision.
The decision of the court today, the court dismissed the charges against the accused and released the accused immediately. So as a prosecution, we present what we present to the court. The court has a right to evaluate the evidence presented to her, to it. So the decision, and we have a right to appeal the decision within 15 days from today.
This is not the first time senior government officials and civil society activists have been accused of planning subversive activities in South Sudan. In 2018, civil society activist Peter Biaro was arrested and detained at the National Security Service detention facility for more than a year. He was then charged with incitement and sentenced to 2 years in prison. President Salva Kiir later pardoned him and 30 other prisoners. For VOA News, Amanyang David Mayor in Juba.
There is a mixed reaction to the government's decision to deploy South Sudan's People's Defense Force to the Eastern Democratic Republic of Congo as part of an East African peacekeeping force. Some say the government's decision is in line with the East African Community Treaty, which permits member states to restore peace and protect other members. But others say the South Sudan People's Defense Force should be sent to conflict hotspots in the country to restore peace at home. For VOA News, Viola Elias reports from Juba.
Earlier this week, Major General Lul Rai Kong, the South Sudan People Defense Force spokesperson, told this program the army is preparing to send 750 soldiers to the Democratic Republic of Congo. The SSPDF troops will take part in the East African Regional Force mandated to restore peace in the DRC Restive East. The cabinet allocated more than $6 million US dollars for the deployment. Some South Sudanese in Juba applaud the move. Rech Malual, the deputy spokesperson of the South Sudan Bar Association, is among those in favor.
The Republic of South Sudan is trying to meet its treaty obligation towards the East African Community, whereas the East African Community has resolved to form a joint defense committee that is responsible for the defense of the region. The DRC has expressed interest to expel the UN forces who have been there for a decade, and they are not able to deliver. So they are seeing a little bit of interest in using the neighboring countries.
However, Rich says it seems as though the South Sudan government has no interest in stopping ongoing violence in the country's Upper Nile state. He says whether or not South Sudanese troops are sent to the DRC, it does not change anything at home.
With respect to going to another country while there is a war within the country, we have already known the shape of policies that are being taken by our government. Our government is already neglecting the peace within, even if militants are sent abroad or they are not sent abroad. Our government clearly doesn't act on that.
However, Doug Both, a South Sudanese activist, says he thinks the DRC conflict will only be resolved through peaceful means and not by sending troops. He criticized the move, saying the army is too weak to participate in a regional mission. He urges the government to instead deploy troops to conflict-affected parts of South Sudan to help restore peace. Both says the situation in Upper Nile State needs urgent intervention. He says the government should have sent the army there to restore peace.
I do not think that our army is competent or capable to fight, in any regional force. Our army is exhausted. Our army is hungry. Our army, is unfit to be able to engage in such combat. If there's anything they can do is to bring about order in our internal crisis.
Fighting broke out last month in several villages in the eastern part of Upper Nile State, which has been hit with intercommunal violence for some time. The situation has worsened over the past years since the SPLM-SPLA-IO Kitgwang faction, led by General Gatwich Dwol, broke away from the SPLM-SPLA-IO party, led by the first vice president Riek Machar. The two factions accused the other of attacking their base.
What is going on right now is very sad, and it made us feel very unhappy, disappointed with the government that they are not doing enough to call on the warring parties to sit down and to put down their weapons so that citizens and civilians can go back to school, can go back to their gardens and cultivate. I think the government also have a duty to play, because at one point in August this year, it has held a dialogue with the forces of Johnson Ruin and General Gadwage.
In a press statement recently, President Salva Kiir's office said he has directed the Chief of Defense Force to deploy unified forces to Upper Nile State. David Magog says while it is not wrong for South Sudanese troops to be sent to the Democratic Republic of Congo, charity should begin at home.
I totally disagree of nominating these 750 soldiers to go and contribute in Congo, because South Sudanese are IDF camp, the rest are refugees camp, some are even dying, like whatever recently. The country is not in total peace. So how do you go and contribute about peace in a different country while your country is not in peace?
Magog says the government should have conferred with citizens before making the decision. For VOA News, I am Viola Elias in Juba.
The world will mark the International Anti-Corruption Day on Saturday. Some South Sudanese say their leaders are doing very little to tackle the problem. They say officials continue to divert the country's resources with impunity rather than using them to deliver core services to the citizens. For VOA News, Dengai Deng reports from Juba.
Gabriel March Garang, a South Sudanese teacher living in Jonglei State, says the government has done very little or nothing to fight corruption. Garang describes the Anti-Corruption Commission as toothless. He says the official continue to loot and divert the country's resources while the commission watches and does nothing to hold the culprits accountable.
People who are in the system, they don't have any kind of honesty. They are not honest in the system. That's why we have ministers today, we have politicians today, who have a lot of money, just from out of blue, you find someone has a lot of money, but when you get into reality, the civil servants of this country, they go 7 months without getting any pay. And on the other hand, the ministers are doing well. So I actually relate this to dishonesty. That our government is not in control, is not in position to protect the integrity of our financial institution.
Garang says the government should embark on the fight against corruption by auditing all its institutions and holding officials implicated in the crime accountable. He says this would be the way to protect the financial integrity of South Sudan.
I would like our government to put in place some mechanisms that can indeed deter corruption, that can prevent corruption in any way. Our government needs to change from old system of doing things in darkness, and they have to introduce kind of system where things are done in a very broad daylight, like giving government documents that in fact pertain the interest of the public.
A South Sudanese engineer in Juba, Musa Loboka, says the government should empower independent institutions such as the South Sudan Anti-Corruption Commission and the judiciary with enough resources to clean up corruption.
Even you will never hear the name of a prominent leader or a person being mentioned that the person has taken such amount of money or something of this and that is supposed to be for the people. Being punished or something of that kind. So everybody is quiet. It's only that the citizens are the one feeling such or such person has been doing such a corruption in the country. But for the person to be mentioned or to be brought to the court of the law or the rule of the law, is not there. It's not happening. And also we never heard of it. The constituency funds, you know, every year this budget has to be there for the constituency. But where is the money going and what is happening with that fund for the constituency development fund? You will never hear anything about it or any report on it.
Christine Inri Jada is a representative of the South Sudan Anti-Corruption Commission who spoke earlier Friday at an event in Juba marking International Anti-Corruption Day. She said the constitution gives the commission powers to prosecute corrupt officials, but those powers need to be enacted into law. She says insufficient funding of the commission undermines its ability to perform its duties.
The absence of the law has undermined the performance of the commission. And worst part of it is the serious financial difficulties which has determined impacted on its activities. When I say the financial difficulties, we are really facing a very big challenge when coming to our budget. Let me tell you, up to now, the Ministry of Finance, let me put this is my own words, has refused to pay us the rental money. Our offices were closed for almost 6 months. Ladies and gentlemen, to improve on the fight against corruption, the commission shall be well funded.
Jada says another way to curb fraud, bribery and mismanagement is for the government to increase the salaries of civil servants and raise their standards of living. A report released about a month ago by investigative group, the Sentry, revealed that South Sudanese leaders embezzled hundreds of millions of dollars in a massive credit scam between 2012 and 2015. The funds, borrowed from Qatar National Bank and Kenya-based CFC Stanbic Bank, were offered to help South Sudanese traders import food, fuel, and medicine. But the nearly $1 billion credit line ended up in neighboring Uganda, Kenya, and Dubai in the form of assets and properties owned by South Sudanese elites and their families, according to the Sentry. The Transparency International ranked South Sudan as the most corrupt country among the 180 countries in the 2021 Corruption Perceptions Index. For VOA News, I am Deng Gai Deng in Juba.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. Coming up, the World Health Organization says the COVID pandemic is here to stay. Find out why after the break.
do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
is there such a thing as unconditional love?
The reason why I say it's there, because I've seen my parents and I've seen there is unconditional love in their relationship. Basing on the way like my dad treats my mom, the love is unconditional.
No, I don't think that. Because it's very difficult to predict human beings. So human beings are just unpredictable. Anybody can change at any time. So that's why I believe there is no unconditional love.
I'm one of the people who believe in real love, and therefore I believe in unconditional love. It exists. It's there. It's been exercised among people. And we have the ability to give unconditional love. So it's there.
Honestly, I've not been there before, so I don't know much about it, but a lot of things that I've seen people are struggling to love each other.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. The World Health Organization reports COVID-19 cases are continuing their downward spiral in Africa, but warns the pandemic is not over and nations must remain vigilant. For VOA News, Lisa Schlein reports from Geneva.
Following a recent four-week resurgence of COVID-19, cases and deaths once again are dropping in Africa. Since this month-long spike ended on November 20th, the World Health Organization has recorded slightly more than 12,300 new cases and 50 deaths. The WHO Regional Director for Africa, Matshidiso Moeti, says these numbers are at their lowest levels since the start of the pandemic in 2020.
Despite the recent uptick, there is hope that Africa will be spared the challenges of the previous 2 years when surging cases marred the holiday season for many. While the current efforts keep the pandemic within control, we are carefully monitoring its evolution. We must remain vigilant and be ready to adopt more stringent preventive measures if necessary.
Moeti says investments in COVID-19 management over the last 3 years are paying off, and the region is better able to cope with the virus. She notes the number of intensive care unit beds has increased and medical oxygen production has grown. She says Africa also has strengthened its laboratory capacity, including conducting genomic sequencing. But she adds worrisome gaps in vaccination remain, especially among the most vulnerable. She says it is urgent that health workers be vaccinated to protect them from getting severe illness and dying. Other high-risk groups who must be vaccinated, she says, include the elderly, people living with HIV, and those who have potentially life-threatening conditions such as diabetes, obesity, and cardiovascular disease.
These, in our view, are the groups in which we need to really push accelerating coverage, increasing the proportion of people that are covered and reaching the highest level of coverage possible, while also, of course, making sure that those of them who took their first series of vaccines early also are boosted, so to sustain the level of immunity, particularly protect them against severe illness.
WHO reports only 26% of Africans are fully vaccinated against COVID-19. Regional Director Moeti says greater coverage can be achieved and more people reached by integrating COVID-19 vaccination into routine immunization and primary health care services. As the pandemic winds down, she says COVID-19 should be brought out of an emergency response mode and integrated into routine health care. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
We love your remarks on issues in this broadcast. My colleague Nabil Biagio is ready with this week's listener comments.
I'm Gatkos Manong Shuang Kujia from Juba. Good evening, John Tanza and Nabil Biagio. I'm so disturbed by the speech made by His Excellency Salfakim Yadit, the President of the Republic of South Sudan, that he cannot stop the war in Afana region. Despite his statement, the people of Afana need a peaceful solution from President because he is in throne of presidency due to Apanal citizen answer.
I'm Peter Gocha Nyangma Jongdul in Bortown of Jongle State. Paying taxes is not a crime to any business person. The only problem is when the taxes are high to any persons. The tax collectors should review the monthly collection from the motorists before the heavy taxes are levied upon them.
I'm James Roy Majok from Bantu Town, South Sudan. Hi, Nabil and John Tanza. The South Sudan government should intervene and rescue the Sholo community who are being displaced from Tunja by current fighting between Galawang forces under Johnson Wulun and Kidgwang forces under First Lieutenant General Simon Gadweidwal. Thanks.
Hello, John Tanja, Nabil Biaju. Thanks for the show. I'm called Boboya Francis, all the way from Yei, South Sudan. As an African, I'm so glad of the team of Morocco, the Atlas Lions, for their brilliant performance against Spain. And I'm looking forward for the next round in the quarterfinals against Portugal. Otherwise, those 6 goals that Portugal scored will not be a scaring factor for the Moroccan side. But as an African, we say we go, Morocco, we go, and we shall stand behind you. Thanks for the show. Keep on, VOA.
Keep your voice and text messages brief, and we shall sample some of them every Friday. Our WhatsApp number is +1 202 630 8011. That's all we prepared for you this Friday. We now leave you with the song Children of the Soil by Rhymers.
Our people, while we still shooting and chopping with pangas for no reason, shall we ever stop the blood flowing? Yal Sudania, Maclean J, Sap J, Enfet J, aka Ewa Rhymers. Fighting for peace, good enough.
We are fighting for equality, fraternity, and liberty. In order to repair the damages, we are the children of the soil. We are fighting for equality, fraternity, and liberty. In order to repair the damages, we are the children of the soil.
I taught me fought like a team. We civilians get the support. North East lives without water. Civilians are like a water body. A nation to develop, not a single passion, tribe, or region for paternity. We need to struggle as a team. People remember we suffered. Unite to heal their wounds. In order to repair the damages,
we are fighting for equality, fraternity, and liberty. In order to repair the damages, we are the children of the soil. We are fighting for equality, fraternity, and liberty. In order to repair the damages, we are the children of the soil.
When we remember the religious leaders, the elders, the soldiers, and when we remember the women, the children, the youth, we were lucky. We need the spirit of nationalism. We but not I alone. Stop the war, we need peace.
We are fighting for equality, fraternity, and liberty. It's all that to repair the damages. We are the children of the soil. We are fighting for equality, fraternity, and liberty. It's all that to repair the damages. We are the children of the soil.
Who saved the earth from the prostitution? John Garang, Al Jibulena Salam, Fistudan Jadid,
San Fakir,
Kun Goyi, Gobudu Asaya Demaniya Wat,
Wani Iga,
Samir Gidam, Sabi Tutaku Maniya Wat,
Commanders,
Commissioners, Sabi Tutaku Maniya Wat,